Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How are you feeling?
I'm doing great.
How's the hearing? You need louder?
I do need it louder.
I knew it.
You know that. I'm deaf. Oh, that's so much better.
You're welcome.
I can hear myself now. I can hear myself think.
I saw that little look of confusion. I knew it was the volume.
It was
not turned up high enough.
It was. Maybe one of these days I'll have one of those guests that comes on the show and talks about the little hearing aids. Maybe I'll go to get fitted for one.
We need them as a guest, so you could try one out.
Yeah, the miracle ear. Great idea. Well, you know I'm excited about our show today because you know I love to eat. I love to cook. And it seems to be a theme here. At least once a quarter we do a food show. And this morning I'm excited about our show because there's something that's come up in several of the other food shows, which is the food movement. And this morning we have with us Greg Gordon. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show from the food movement. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
But there's more than just the food movement, but I want to start with that. So we've had people talk about, you know, the food trucks and what's involved in that. You just don't see them that much in Atlanta.
Well, it's starting to be more and more prevalent. The Atlanta Coalition, Street Food Coalition, is bringing more and more trucks to Atlanta. My partners and I just saw this opportunity and decided to bring more trucks to Atlanta. Our first one is Hail Caesar. We're on the road as we speak. In fact, it's down underground right now. We have a second truck coming out within a month's time that's going to be called Pressed for Time, and that's going to be all paninis. And we're looking to do five in the first 18 months, so we're really excited about bringing
five
more.
Five different concepts. And there are others besides just you with Hail Caesar. I've seen them around town.
There are roughly 28 on the road right
really?
Now in Atlanta.
Wow. And what's involved in that? I mean, do you have to get some type of permit or city approval?
Permitting's been a challenge. We are permitted in Fulton right now, but you do have to be permitted county by county. The Atlanta Street Food Coalition has done it so that we can have enough permits for rodeos, if you will. So last night at Hollow Mill Food Park, several trucks could be there that aren't permitted through the counties. They get a blanket permit. We're working on DeKalb and Cobb as well right now.
Now, does it work like an ice cream truck? Like you just drive around and then people yell, oh, Hail Caesar's here, and you're ringing the bell and they run up and you stop and make them a sandwich or something?
Well, that's the food truck of old. That was when the word we don't like so much is Roach Coach, and everything was packaged. Everything we're doing right now is fresh, made to order. We prepare all the food off-site, bring it to the truck, and we prepare your wrap, salad, or sandwich when you order it.
So you're parked somewhere for a period of time. Is that how it
works? We are. We get the word out by letting people know that through Twitter and Facebook and our website, HailCaesarTruck.com.
And you have partners in the business too, right? When I looked at the three partners, I thought, that's kind of the best of all three worlds.
It's really neat. We didn't know each other prior to this. We were introduced. And one of my partners, Paul, is a great marketing mind. The other one is an entrepreneur as well. He's been in sales most of his life, so it's great for him to be able to go out and sell us, but also has been in the routing business. So he's with trucks. We're learning that we can change the food movement and make it more of a routing business.
And then so how does your day work? Do you have like scheduled stops at certain times throughout the day?
Currently, we pick one spot for lunch. So today, for example, we're down at the underground with four or five other trucks. We're also working with office complexes. So we'll go to an office complex, we'll do the marketing, let everybody know that we're going to be there. They don't have to get into their car and drive and
right.
go somewhere. So it makes it a little easier on people. And the reason we're doing so many concepts is we can bring restaurants right to their offices and bring them several over the course
so
of the week.
So they'd have a variety over the course of the week.
Correct.
What a time savings. And the fact that it is healthy, your concept with Hail Caesar is that nothing's fried. Tell us some of the other menu items. What is most popular?
Well, we have our Hail Caesar Club, which has fresh mozzarella cheese. All the ingredients are produce are local. We're working on to get everything local as possible. That has bacon, fresh mozzarella cheese, local tomatoes, lettuce, and our bacon and blue Caesar
dressing.
You
have local bacon?
We do have local bacon.
Actually, the local bacon guy that was going to come today got tied up. Yeah.
A bacon emergency.
He's going to have to come.
That'll happen.
It is amazing. I mean, they raise the pigs in Georgia and local bacon, but that sounds actually fairly healthy. And I'm sure the bacon, that's just for a little flavor.
We feel that you have to have bacon in everything you possibly can. each truck will have some sort of bacon in it. In fact, we tried several paninis this weekend for the new truck, and bacon, peanut butter, and jelly was a hit.
Oh,
really?
Wow.
Good to know.
Salty, sweet. I bet that would be good.
It's delicious. It's delicious.
And you mentioned the panini are pressed for time. What's the time frame on that?
Well, the truck is actually being built as we speak, and it'll be delivered to us late next week.
And what's involved in making that truck? It's got to have a whole kitchen inside, right?
Well, we contracted somebody to go out and find the actual truck for us. So we have a new truck coming, and then they build it all out. They have to cut the windows. They have to put a place for the generator.
And I would think that staffing it is very important because people need to be friendly. I mean, you think about New York, Chicago, Boston. You think about where the food vendors
are
popular.
They're real friendly there?
They're
very
friendly.
You think they're friendly in New York?
Well, I don't know about New York. But in Chicago, when I lived there, I always had a favorite vendor. And
even in New York sometimes.
Really? And yeah. you develop that relationship with them,
but
too.
But absolutely. I mean, we want our employees to feel that they have an ownership and that the truck is really theirs so that they will be able to give their best service possible.
So you mentioned earlier that the government isn't jumping up and down about you guys coming in. They're giving you a little bit of a hard time, making it difficult to permit. How do the restaurant owners feel about you guys?
It goes both ways. Mm-hmm. Some are very excited about it and want to look into getting mm-hmm. their own truck. And
right.
some say, you know, this is going to take away from my brick and mortar
right.
restaurant. Most cities right now have it, so you have to be at least 100 feet away from a brick and mortar restaurant. So uh-huh. that seems to be helping the cause. But it's they're coming around. The Atlanta Restaurant Association has been listening to us, so that's a positive.
I would think it would be a good thing, too, if there are special events going on in the city, to take the food to them rather than just having to set up tents and things to have the truck actually go to the event. Have you worked any big events like that?
We have. We did a concert down in Inman Park not too long ago. There's a concert coming up down at City Hall that's going to have several large bands that we're going to be part of that as well. So it's really changing the face of how Atlanta eats food on the streets.
And I'm sure all the festivals now are incorporating food
Absolutely.
Trucks or carts. More.
Absolutely. We get a lot of calls daily.
So what is the overall vision of the food movement? I mean, how did you start thinking about it? Jamie Oliver, I know he's been huge in a lot of this, but you see it on
shows.
Food Network.
There's one coming up next week, right?
There is. In fact,
it was the
Great Food Truck Race. Tyler was on Good Morning America right before I came over here, and they were here in town not too long ago. So that was kind of neat. We got to meet with a bunch of the trucks that are going to be on the road for that show.
So those Vietnamese sandwiches won, right?
The first one, yes.
So you guys aren't doing that?
We are not
that
doing
that. That wasn't a market test for you?
It's on the short list. It is.
yeah.
Banh mi panini would be nice, yes. We Well, I bought the truck because of watching the Food Network mm-hmm. A year ago in August. And was working towards getting it off the ground. I have a small catering company called Gordon's Gourmet, and I was going to do it under that umbrella. I was lucky enough to be introduced to my partners, Paul and Jack, and the vision became much broader. Money helps with that, and we are continuing to grow the business. We also want to help other entrepreneurs. So there's a possibility, as the government loosens up a little bit, that we'll be able to house their trucks and be able to have a kitchen commissary that other people will be able to come to that maybe can't afford.
So like a shared commercial kitchen?
Correct, but that's down the road when the government allows us to do it. But we're looking at that's the overall vision.
And why do you think they object to it? I mean, why do you think Georgia is not?
Because they're in bed with the restaurant lobby.
No, I mean, is it a safety thing or cleanliness? I mean, I can't imagine.
They're shutting down lemonade stands. So were you going to let them do this?
well, I think the pushback is more of how to deal with this new entity. Like anything, they need to figure out how much they want to tax us, how much permitting will be. And Greg Smith, the president of the coalition, really sort of ambushed the whole city. And if you look at the spectrum throughout the country, other cities are loosening up. Baltimore just loosened
right.
up. L.A. is starting to tighten up a little bit. They were the wild, wild west of this whole deal. It started at 4 years ago where you could park pretty much anywhere if you paid a meter. And they're starting to say, wait, hold on, we got to reel it back a little bit. So there's Georgia is trying to figure out how to deal with it, just like every other state.
How does New York deal with it, where they have the vendors, it seems, on every corner, but I'm sure that if you wake up real early, you can't sneak in ahead of somebody else?
You know, New York is a different beast because it's been around for so very long that there are, I think it's sort of like a taxi medallion, if you will. Mm-hmm. So there are people that have a spot that's been coveted that is theirs. So the trucks have sort of taken away from the hot dog vendor, and there's been a little pushback there on that as well.
Talk a little bit about your background. I mean, are you a educated chef, or are you a chef by? I mean, that's probably not a very good term, because I'm not necessarily.
You?
I'm just a chef for fun. I mean, I have some training, but
I went to college for PR, and worked at a country club and worked front of the house in country clubs for about 12 years. Sold wine, did several things, but always in food and beverage. And I'm self-taught. I learned from watching the Food Channel, from being around kitchens, and from eating exactly, as you can see. So I've been working at it for about 10 years now, and I feel I've become pretty good at it.
I would imagine that your experience translates very well. You have to be able to please.
Absolutely.
I mean, you've probably seen a lot of different situations and have learned from that. I have to say, though, one thing that was surprising, it is a small world. We had the Big Green Egg folks on recently.
Are you going to make
and
a
then,
truck with them? I think you're going to be in charge of that
truck.
Oh, my gosh,
I would love that truck. But Paul, one of his partners, came up in a search when I was looking for a Big Green Egg recipe, and evidently he's a Big Green Egg guru.
He and I really, really enjoy the Big Green Egg. We both have them in our homes, and would like to partner with the Big Green Egg at some point. We haven't talked to him about it yet.
Amy will connect you.
Yeah, we'll
make
I'll
that happen.
Amy.
Well, that would be fantastic. But yes, Paul is excellent on the Big Green Egg, and we are working on how we can incorporate some of those recipes into the trucks.
A little chimney.
And it would smell.
That's right.
It smells so good.
NASCAR, the thing at the NASCAR?
My company, Gordon's Gourmet, did it last year, and I'm already talking to them about letting us have a truck there this year. So
I think they're going to open the application like right now.
It's filled out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. A couple Big Green Eggs. Plus, the smell would just attract people. It smells so good.
So just we're trying to figure it all out right now, but that would be excellent.
By the way, when the Big Green Egg was on, the president of the Atlanta Barbecue Association was on, and I just have to tell this, Greg, he had his business card smoked.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and it's sitting in my office, and I still every once in a while will pick it up and just inhale. It was
that was a clever
idea,
that
wasn't it?
Very clever.
I thought you were going to bring up how you're going to be a guest judge.
Oh, I am. They invited me to be a celebrity judge for the Chick-fil-A barbecue.
The tailgate,
thing.
The kickoff,
yeah, the Georgia
college
Dome.
Football.
Very cool.
Yeah, I know.
You didn't realize you were with a celebrity, did you?
No. And they invited me on air, and then I was barely back to the office, and they sent me this big PR kit and wanted a headshot. I'm like, oh, no.
You're in now. Forget it.
Yeah, and I do love barbecue, so that will be a lot of fun. So along the lines with your vision, you mentioned you have a short list. Besides the panini, any other concepts that you're willing to reveal?
Well, we've looked at meatballs, we've looked at sausage, we've looked at possibly sushi even. So
what are the ones that didn't make it at all?
The ones that didn't make the cut? Well, my partner Paul would really like a duck truck, and I think that would be a lot of fun. However, I think that might maybe more of an L.A. New York deal. Not that Atlanta eaters aren't very skilled, but I feel we're not quite ready for that yet.
For a duck truck.
What about gelato or ice cream or any of those?
Gelato is huge. There's a gelato truck out there right now. There's an excellent...
Is it like real territorial? Like if there's somebody already called gelato, then everybody's got to back off?
No, it's not so much. I mean, a lot of the trucks
are... going to go after him. You know what? That ain't gelato. I'll show you gelato.
We're a pretty tight-knit community at this point, so we're all working together for the same cause. So like last night there was... the ice cream truck was at the event, so the gelato truck wasn't there. But there were also several different taco trucks. So there are different concepts that are similar that compete, but we all are pretty tight-knit community.
How many trucks do you think that the city can hold?
I think the sky's the limit. It really depends on...
I think the restaurant people would have a
vote restaurant people may not like that idea. But as long as the government allows us to start being able to be elsewhere.
Right.
The sky's really the limit. We're the first truck that's going to be in the Sandy Springs Dunwoody area. So most of the trucks currently are down in the midtown, downtown
right, where
area.
The right density.
Right. So there's plenty of room in Cobb County and right. south of the city.
I know this may be a really silly question, but where do you park it when you're not using it? Do you
at
park it in
house.
Your driveway?
It's in his house.
It was at my house for quite some time, actually. And the neighbors were pretty receptive to it.
As long as you fed them.
Exactly. We have a fairly large warehouse that was one of my partners owned a shredding company, and he sold it to Cintas, and Cintas needed to move out. They expanded. And this sort of how the food movement was born, because he had this warehouse space that needed to be used. So the truck is at the warehouse, and the next trucks will live there as well. So.
Wow. I was just creating another business idea. When electronic medical records became so popular, then we needed storage for the old ones. Maybe we need like a new
food truck storage company.
Exactly.
Well, exactly. That could be. We have a lot that's large enough that down the road we could possibly do that.
How about tailgating with football season coming up?
We are going to do some tailgating coming up. We have a couple of high schools that I can't name yet because we're not set, but that are going to invite us for their Friday night games. We're looking to get into the Athens market.
What about like private parties? Like if our neighborhood was having something, could we call you and have you show up?
Absolutely. We have a catering package planned for, and there actually have been several weddings. We have not done one yet, but we were asked about one recently. The Yumby truck has done 4 or 5 weddings as well. So it's a.
And is there a minimum for that? Like how does that work? Or you're just on your own, you show up?
Well, we're looking at minimums. It'll be on a case-to-case basis. If a office park would like to have several people just come eat off the truck, we could pay in advance. There also could be packages for kids' birthday parties, kind of be the first kid to have a food truck on your block at your party. So
that's a good idea. So many ideas. I see that it's endless when it comes to the food truck.
It really is.
We're going to ask you at the end of the show so you can start thinking about it now, where you want to be in 5 years.
Okay, great.
And now, you know, Tom, you get to think about it between now and then, too. But how can folks find out where you're going to be in your schedule if they're not on Twitter or not on Facebook? Do you have a website?
HailCaesarTruck.com has a calendar and what's happening right on the front page. So that will tell you every week where to find us.
Do you send out, like, texts to all your fans to tell them where you'll be that day?
We do some texting, but we found it sort of starts to feel like spam. But we have over 250 likes on Facebook, so people see us there, and a couple hundred people following us on Twitter, and hopefully after this, even more.
Cool.
Terrific. Thanks for being our guest today. And again, remember, we're going to come back to you. Where do you want to be in 5 years?
Wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Our next guest, Lee. You know, I can't handle handle any more addictions, but this sauce is so good, and I'm tickled that we have with us today Sue Sullivan, the owner of Hot Squeeze. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thanks, Amy.
So I think it's a combination of the sweet and heat. It's hot, but not too hot. My kids like it, and sweet and salty and spicy, and it's so yummy. So how did you come up with the concept?
Well, I was a caterer. I had a catering company here in Atlanta for about 14 years.
So and now you have a food truck, right?
That's right. You should go into that kind of catering. I catered for the film and production mm-hmm. business, and that would be a great market, actually, for food trucks.
Absolutely.
So, and I had created Hot Squeeze that didn't have a name at that point, just for a pork tenderloin dish, and it took off right away. It just became this instant hit. And then it became companies would come in from out of town and they would say they wanted to hire the woman who had that chipotle sauce. Mm-hmm. And so, and then for years, everybody kept saying, you should bottle it. And for years, I looked at them like they were crazy. I mean, I had a busy catering business and I had no idea how to put anything into a bottle.
Because that's a totally different business, right?
Absolutely, totally different. So I finally just made it this New Year's resolution 1 year. Okay, I'm going to try to figure out how to get it into a bottle. And it took about 10 months of research and, you know, figuring out how to find a co-packer, what a co-packer was, how to find it, you know, get the nutritional label, all those steps. And it's huge. And I got it into a bottle and I got picked up by Whole Foods like 3 months later. So
wow.
It was.
So it's that easy? You just call them up and they're like, boom.
No,
right,
I mean,
right.
I wish. You know, I feel like I was very lucky. I know I was very lucky.
That changes the game when that happens?
Changes the game. Because when I first bottled it, I mean, I had no idea what I was going to do with it. And I had this advisory board, and we all sat around, and I had 500 cases bottled because that was the minimum run I could
And
run.
You were like, how am I going to get rid of all these?
Right. What am I going to do with all this?
What's the expiration date? You're on the clock, right?
I'm going to have to give it all away. And so, yeah, to get that phone call from Whole Foods was just this huge, like it was this
That's
leap
like
that
a,
took me to the next
a lottery
level.
Ticket winner, uh-huh. Right?
But, then, it was that phone call. And then they said, okay, and we want you to go through this distributor. And I remember getting that paperwork. And I thought, what does this mean? I was on such a learning curve and still am on a learning curve of this market. But I've been at it now. This is my fifth year. And, I'm in a ton of grocery stores.
Oh, my
it's
gosh.
Growing.
I couldn't believe the list online.
Yeah.
I mean, you're everywhere.
Well,
Really, it's like Whole Foods. I mean, I saw that Jewel Osco was coming or Jewel.
Mm-hmm. In Chicago. Yeah.
I mean, the list was just on and on and on. Specialty stores, but the Whole Foods thing. Go back to that. So you have the recipe, and I'm sure you make it for, 50 people, but how do you adapt that recipe then for this big assembly line?
Well, and that's, to go from making it at your home to having a co-packer do it, you give them your recipe, you sign a non-disclosure with them, and then they're the ones who create it into a 500-gallon batch.
Okay.
But when you brought it to Whole Foods, would you had it in an old mayonnaise jar or something?
No,
like
and actually the funny part, because what I ended up doing is I had a friend who had a food business when I was first starting out, and he was going off to the Fancy Food Show, which mm-hmm. is
right, the big
the big kahuna in New York, and he asked if I wanted to go and share some space, and I said sure, and I had hot squeeze in this little prototype bottle, and mm-hmm. I sampled it out, and that was where I got the contact from Whole Foods. The buyer from Whole Foods had tasted it there, and then she called and said, I really love it. I want it in, all of the stores in my region. So that's actually how I got it. But, again, I did have it in this little prototype bottle, right. But, then I ran off and got it.
You know, Amy, I interviewed the CEO of Honest Tea, and mm-hmm. he got into Whole Foods in an old Snapple jar. They took the label off.
Wow. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. I mean, but was that your first avenue? You just knew you wanted to take it to Whole Foods?
No. I mean, I had no idea what I wanted to do with it. Really? I remember thinking in the beginning, it'd be really nice at Crate and Barrel. I could see it like, uh-huh. With some cookware.
Is it a Crate and Barrel?
No, it's not. It should be a Crate
yes,
and Barrel.
It should. In Williams-Sonoma, uh-huh.
And
everywhere.
And Williams-Sonoma, it should be everywhere. No, I mean, I really didn't go into this with a lot of foresight. I mean,
that's a good tip for our listeners.
No, you do not do that. That's the wrong way to do it.
Don't plan.
I've been
just
backtracking.
Just do things off the top of your head.
Backtracking
a friend invites you to a charade show, just jump in and go with them.
No, that's not the right way to do it.
Drain your savings.
Right.
Drain your savings. Oh, work like a beast. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. Because I think the first time I met you or was introduced to the sauce was at the Atlanta Food Show. And it's probably been 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was with my kids, and we tried it, and we were hooked, and it goes on everything. Broccoli, eggs, popcorn, I mean, you name it. You can always tell if I have it in the house, because no matter what I make,
it's
in there.
It's all there. Mm-hmm. Well, and it's interesting, too, because kids do love this sauce just as much as, as grown-ups.
Do you still have those little teeny, don't you have little teeny bottles?
I have little teeny bottles of them.
You still have that?
Yes.
I
didn't bring them.
But
that's what gets you hooked, is that little teeny bottle.
It's like a taste.
Oh, you can't just have a taste. No, it's and you have two flavors.
Yes, so I just came out with my second flavor, which is orange ginger zing. And, I came out for the longest time. I said, I'm just going to have one product. I'm going to be, I'm going to be the Tabasco. Mm-hmm. Girl, I have hot squeeze and that's all I need. And then because I was on grocery shelves, everybody kept saying to me, well, you need more shelf presence. And so shelf presence. And so I thought, okay. So I brought out this new flavor, orange ginger zing, which I love. I mean, you have to like ginger to love this sauce, but the people who love ginger are mm-hmm. crazy about it. And that's it's like ginger. The same concept as the original, the sweet heat chipotle one that goes on everything. So, I made this one thinking, okay, it's going to be great for fish. It's great for stir fries, great for chicken. You can use it as a marinade. Mm-hmm. You can use it as a glaze. It's great on vegetables. It's great on salads and soups. You don't have to refrigerate it. So it stays along the same line as the original flavor. Although I got to tell you, bringing out a second flavor, it's like starting all over again.
Really?
It's like,
well, this one didn't have the history that the other one did. The other one you've been doing for years.
Right.
So this has more pressure, I would think.
Well, and it's just, you know, I thought when I brought it out, I thought, oh, well, you know, every distributor I have will just put this one on the shelf next to that one. Well, you know, again, you have to reintroduce everything. And then the website totally had to change, and all the marketing material has to change.
Because
so
that shelf the shelf space is, it's finite, right? Like the if yours goes in, that means somebody's is going out.
Right, right.
So it's got to earn its keep.
Yeah, well, that shelf space.
I did notice over, maybe it's been in the last 8 months or year, that it's the consistency changed a little bit. It still tastes the same. Have you been toying with the ingredients or the?
Wow,
what a palate you have, Amy.
No, I mean, it tastes the same.
Absolutely the same. What I did was I reformulated the original, the sweet heat chipotle with less sugar. Which I think is a really good thing.
Yes, I like that.
And it, but the thickness comes from xanthan gum, which is a natural ingredient, and so I can toy around with the thickness of it. And a lot of people were originally upset that it wasn't as thick as the original one.
I like it
but
better.
But it still does all the same things.
Yeah.
And as I say, it's got less sugar. So, you know, same taste, just less sugar.
And it's better in a Bloody Mary.
I know.
I like the consistency.
Well, and talking about
Bloody Mary.
The orange ginger zing one, talking about a cocktail mix on this one, martinis with this orange ginger zing are incredible.
Oh, my goodness. And I get some of the ideas from your website or from Facebook. I'm not real sure. But you always have recipes, which is great because then it gets me thinking, oh, I've got this in the refrigerator. I didn't think about making that for dinner, but I'll put my hot squeeze on it.
Basically, and everybody who's on my Facebook, Hot Squeeze Facebook page gets to see what I've eaten for dinner that night.
So I'm not the only one that takes pictures of my food.
Well, you know, somebody suggested at one point that I should videotape me cooking, which is a great idea, but then I realized that I have no one at home lots of times when I'm cooking dinner, so I tried setting up my video camera on a tripod, and then I would have to lean down.
So what fun.
I'm sure you can invite some of your Hot Squeeze fans to come by for dinner and videotape
I'm
that.
I'm sure.
At the food show in Atlanta, I mean, your booth, we kept walking around to try to get to it because I don't even know what you were sampling that day, but everybody was lined up.
I do these shows, and I sample out and then sell Hot Squeeze at these shows. And it's this, there are lines of people, and it's just this constant feeding of people. And I mean, the Atlanta show I've done now for a couple of years. And so they're coming back and they're buying cases at a time.
Wow.
So that's
but
great.
What are you putting it on? Because I don't know that I've even seen what you have when you sample it. But really, people are lined up.
I always like to show that you can do everything with it. So, I put it over cream cheese and serve it with crackers. But I make these great pecans and dried cranberries that I glaze.
Sounds good.
With Hot Squeeze. And then, I don't know. I've put it over meatballs. The orange ginger one I did with an orzo and chicken salad. So I just kind of mix it up.
Now you mentioned that you're in retail now. I'm sure you're online too, right? You can buy online. Mm-hmm. Are you in restaurants? Do restaurants use this as an ingredient?
Yes, I do have some restaurants that use it, and I have a local food service distributor here in town that distributes it for me.
But your main Your main growth area is in retail?
It has been in retail, but I'm really looking to push out into the food service, into the restaurant business. And, I've been talking to Costco, too. So, you know, the club stores are going to be a great place to go to.
Word of warning, when you start selling it to restaurants and it's sitting at the table and instead of putting the Heinz ketchup on your burger and you put Hot Squeeze, the waiter's going to say, oh, we're going to have to sell this because I'm telling you, everyone will be hooked.
Well, thank you.
So when you sell to restaurants, they need to buy cases for their, you know, buy the T-shirts and all the other things they sell because it's crazy. And looking at the ingredients, I don't know what it is. It's just the combination, I guess.
Yeah, because there are not a lot of ingredients in it.
Right.
You know, all natural. They're just, it's a good, clean taste. And you know, the interesting thing too, like with the Sweet Heat Chipotle one, which is my original one, like sometimes it has total Asian nuances, but you can put it with Southwestern food. I mean, it honestly, it does. It goes on everything.
It does at my house. Mm-hmm. It even goes on the tofu on the big green egg. Uh-huh. My daughter's vegetarian, so she it goes on everything. Mm-hmm. It's nuts. I know I sound like a whack job here.
Raving fan. Raving fan.
Now all of our listeners know my hot button. Bacon, chocolate, the big green egg, and hot squeeze.
Mm.
Yeah, all those together.
Yep.
It would probably even be good on chocolate.
Yep. No, truffle fillings, I'm telling you.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I hadn't thought of that. Mm-hmm. All right, so where do you see yourself going with this? I mean, you've got two flavors. You're thinking about branching out into more.
Well, since you just heard how bringing out the new flavor. You know, I have so many different areas that I haven't really tapped into yet. And it's basically because it's just me running this whole business. So I am doing everything. I mean, I'm the one who's in my warehouse packing pallets and shipping shipping out the orders. I'm doing the sales. I'm doing the marketing. I'm doing everything. So I'm running as fast as I can. But as I say, food service, absolutely. The club stores. There's so many different ways to go with it. On Chick-fil-A, I want to put it in the little condiment packages.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if that's Frank's buffalo sauce in the buffalo sauce at Chick-fil-A. Has anybody... Are you a buffalo sauce?
No,
because you can get buffalo sauce now with your chicken, and I'm pretty convinced that that's Frank's buffalo sauce.
Well,
like
now that so you've added them,
yeah,
well,
we can have a hot squeeze.
Labeled.
And you know, when I look at all, when you go into all those fast food restaurants, all of the packets are all the high fructose corn syrup,
right?
So you know, this is all natural. This is good for you. It's
but you'd
stable.
Be willing to put high fructose corn syrup in it if it got you in Chick-fil-A?
No, I stand by my grounds.
Unless it's Chick-fil-A.
So, Sue, you've got to promise to come back on the show when you're in Costco.
I will.
And I'm sure that's going to happen because there's people like me that, I mean, one little bottle, I mean, that's a week's worth.
Well, I mean, I've already talked. In fact, I've talked with several buyers, and it's just, again, it's just getting.
It's a process.
It's a process, and it's time.
So now that our listeners are licking their lips and can't wait to have it, I saw you can buy it online.
You can buy it on Amazon. There are a couple different places online, but Amazon sells it. And then locally, all of our Whole Foods markets have it, and Cook's Warehouse has it. And then there are a bunch of great specialty stores throughout Atlanta.
But your website has all that.
Website
right?
has all the information.
And how do you do that? I mean, I saw it in the Copper Pig, mm-hmm. of all places. It was at the Copper Pig. I'm like, you're kidding me. Oh, good. Another
that's how
source.
Busy Sue is calling
You've
on these little
me.
Stores one by one.
She never stops.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're calling her at some point.
Yes.
That's great. Uh-huh. That's awesome. And any advice to our listeners? Because we have a lot of entrepreneurs that listen, and some of our guests make the concept sound so easy. I mean, it goes basically from, I created a doll, and now it's endorsed by Madame Alexander. And you're like, wow.
Really? It's that
yeah,
simple?
But
well, and that's right, because that's what we were saying earlier. It is not mm-hmm. that simple. Like, you know, to get that phone call from Whole Foods, honestly, was just luck.
But you have to have a good product.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely. You have
that's
to have a good
given.
Product. It's
got
to be something
yeah.
that's, right. you know, unusual. I, you know, just like Greg was saying, I think that we all are really happy to help other entrepreneurs. So I talk with people who want to get into the food business, who want to start a food company all the time, and I'm really happy to. I'm really happy to share.
Right. What worked, what didn't work.
What works, what doesn't work, you know, contacts. So, you know, one thing that I always tell people when they think that they want to start a food company is to go to some of these food shows and start looking around at what products are out there. Because
so just like walk around.
Walk.
Like don't get a booth or anything at first.
No.
Just walk around.
Just walk around because you want to either decide, like there are so many products out there. They're just like the fudge that I think that I want to package.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I have a market for something. You get ideas for labels. But, I mean, I think that that's a really wise thing to tell people to do.
And
that
fancy food, what is it, New York?
Fancy food is in New York, but Atlanta has one that's down at the Mart that they have a January show and a July show, which is a pretty big food show.
And so they can go there if they're interested.
They could go there if they're interested.
Have you been, Amy?
I have been. Mm-hmm. I used to go to the one in Chicago all the time when I was in that business, and I've been to the one in New York. It's mm-hmm. definitely the Mac Daddy, and it is It's interesting, though, from year to year, Sue. I mean, you've been going for a while, too. You find that there's a trend.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Now it seems to be like spicy and chocolate, like people mm-hmm. putting bacon in their chocolate or chili pepper or sea salt. There's always a little trend.
Yes.
But
yes.
It seems like the spicy, once you're a spice lover and a mm-hmm. hot sauce lover, that mm-hmm. never goes out.
It's so true. Yeah, putting chilies in the chocolates. I mean, it has been because there were, at one point, there were teas. It was mm-hmm, all about
right.
tea, and then it was all about the different nutritional waters. And so mm-hmm. it has. You see these trends that go on.
Right, in the gelato. I mean, there it is, and the mm-hmm. ice creams, and it's just, it is interesting. But there, it's usually some of them are fads. They kind of come and go.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see the hot squeeze being around forever.
Oh, good. Let's hope.
Give us your contact information.
Sure. The website is www.thehotsqueeze.com. And the is really important to put before hot squeeze.
That's right. I can imagine where you're going to go without the word
yeah. the. Oh, no. Yeah.
It's a lot better now than when I first started out. I think Google search takes you right yeah. right to where you're supposed to go now. But it used to take you someplace else.
Yeah. The Hot Squeeze.
The
All
hot
right.
Squeeze.
And I love the label. How did you come up with the name?
I always say it was at a cocktail party.
Yeah, usually.
That's right? The PG-13 version of
great
that
ideas.
Story.
Great ideas. Always start on napkins. Definitely.
Anyway.
That's it.
That's all you get to know.
There's more
Sounds
to that
like an
story.
Off-air story. That'll be the after show. You can hear that.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Oh, definitely make sure you turn everything off when we have that one. Great. All right. We're going to come back to you in a bit and find out where you want to be in 5 years. But now, Tom, welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show from Rays on the River.
Thanks for having me.
It's interesting. You go straight from what? Discovery Channel to Atlanta Business Radio Show.
That's correct.
We get
That's
some it. Top talent here. So tell us a little bit.
I was thinking they get some top talent.
That
That's
too.
The way I looked
that
at this.
That too.
I was recently on Chopped as well.
Were you really?
Yeah. How'd Very that go? Cool. That's my wife's favorite show. What's that like in real life?
That's one of my favorites.
It's real life craziness. It really is. They picked you up in Manhattan at about 4:30 in the morning, right in front of Whole Foods, uh-huh. and they bring you to the location. And
so you don't know any of the competitors. You don't know anybody.
You meet them and pick them up along the way.
Oh, wow.
And then you get there and you practice your emotions probably 8 times. Everything is an 8. So you do everything about 8 times except for open the basket. That's real time.
Oh,
that's one time.
Gosh.
So even when you're going to get chopped, they say, and you have been chopped, and they don't lift it up, and you have to go through that 8 times. So
oh,
you're sweating.
Wow.
And you're sweating, and you're like, okay, you know what? I just don't even care anymore. Just
right.
Please lift up the lid. and then it's not you, and you're like, oh.
And you got to
so,
do it.
Yeah, wow. So, but it's it was a great experience. It really
so
was.
Show us your best surprised expression after the 8th
well,
hey, time.
We're on
I mean,
radio. How could he do this?
I mean, is it like?
It's grueling. Yeah,
bet.
It is. And they it's pretty neat though. It's pretty real. They bring you in the kitchen and they give it your time. So when they show you where the ingredients are, you're in and out. They're you're basically on a timer. So they don't want you to see where the ingredients are. So they basically brisk you, walk you through there. Luckily, the gentleman that I was with, one of the contestants, had an argument about how to use a piece of equipment. And so while he was arguing with them, because they didn't really know how to show him how to use it, so mm-hmm. he was freaking out. And I don't even think he ever intended to use this piece of equipment. But regardless, I'm spying on the. Now I'm looking around,
right.
going, "Okay,
where
are the artichokes? Where are the preserved lemons? Where's everything?" So, but yeah, it was a great experience.
I mean, that's got to be an adrenaline rush.
It is pretty crazy, and you know they don't. You cook. You know, the first dish I think went out at 7:30, and they didn't really taste it till like 11.
Right, that's what someone else told me that was on Chopped. They said that it's hours later.
Hours, and you know they put you in a sequester room, and we were one of the guys that I was with. I keep going to him, but he was a riot. He was cracking jokes all the time. So they were picking us out of the group, and they were trying to antagonize us. You know,
they want to create drama.
They want to drop. They want to create drama. So we were getting along way too well. They didn't like that.
So are you really sweating that much, or is that all fake too?
No, it's blistering hot in there.
Is it?
Because of the lights. The lights from the filming
and the heat of the kitchen.
They don't have hood fans. It's like
wow.
we do in a commercial kitchen. So they have all the ovens are on, and they have to stay on because they can't stop and turn them on and turn them off. So all the ovens are on. So the ovens get turned on very early in the morning. So when you walk in there, it's a sweat box.
Wow. When will it air? Has it already?
It has aired.
Oh my goodness! Do you all have
How'd
to look
do?
At that?
I got chopped in the entree round. The ingredients were mustard, ketchup, and mayonnaise. Mayonnaise was the dessert. And then I had, on my entree, I had wild boar. But it was called Thrill the Grill. They also put a little curve in there, too, when we got there. We said, oh, by the way, I hope you guys didn't practice using your ovens because you don't have them today.
Oh, that was the episode where you just grill, right?
Wow. Now, does every contestant do all four, or they're actually when you're chopped, you're done, and then you go home?
You're done. You go into another six-hour post-interview.
Exit area,
which is excruciating.
So that's when they're doing that kind of voiceover where they're like, "Oh, I was thinking I'd do this, but then I saw this person do that."
Another thing too, when you're sitting up there and they're talking about your dish, you know. So I'm sitting up there and they say the first person goes and they say something great about my dish, and then the next person she said something great about my dish, and I said, "Man, this is easy. Everybody loves my dish."
Right.
And then they come back and they say something negative about your dish because they don't know
what you're going to be the one that
cut or not cut. Right. So then I go, "Oh, wait a minute. Now my dish stinks."
It's not really fair if they're tasting it 4 hours later. It can't taste anywhere near as good as it did right off.
Is what it is. You know, I think they know enough. They're chefs, entrepreneurs, so restaurateurs. So they're watching. They basically know while you're cooking what's going to taste good. They see you seasoning or not seasoning, or they see what you're doing or not doing. So they have a great idea before they even taste the dish. What it's going to taste like.
Respected their opinion. You thought that those people knew what they were talking about.
Oh yeah, definitely. They've seen enough, and yeah.
So a little bit different from being highlighted on Discovery Channel's Great Chefs in Great Cities.
Right, exactly.
Probably not quite as dramatic there, right?
Right, that's exactly right.
So what was the one ingredient that was thrown at you that you were like, wow, okay, I don't know what to do with that?
He had wild boar. Isn't that
hard? Yeah. Wild boar is...
Wild boar wasn't hard. I don't think it was necessarily an ingredient. I think the first round, you know, where they gave us a whole a side of fish, and you had to make sure that there weren't bones in it, and you had to... Yeah. And you had to grill it. And they also gave you cedar planks that were way too thick to use. So if you tried to use a cedar plank, you know, you were set up to fail because you would never get this thing to smoke in
the But you would have to know that.
Correct.
Right, there's some technical things that they're setting you up, right?
Correct. And then there's like one blender. So if you have to start thinking about what you're going to do, and then you run back to get it, and you're like, oh, wait, I don't have a blender. I remember I went to open up a can for my entree. I was going to make a barbecue sauce with the ketchup. And I didn't have a can opener to open up the can of tomatoes that I grabbed. So there I am, freaking out, whacking this can with the end of a knife, trying to open it up like I'm camping. And
That's good TV there.
Yeah, that's good TV, right?
Exactly. Yeah. That is good stuff. That's really good stuff. So start to finish, what time frame did that take?
I was chopped in the entree round, and I left at about 7 that evening.
Okay.
Man, so that's an all-day thing.
It's an all-day thing, yeah.
Were you, like, wiped out? Your mind is fried?
Yeah. I remember going to a restaurant that night, I was sitting in the bar, and somebody came to sit next to me, and she's like, "You look really tired." And I'm like, you know, I was just on chop. No way! So, you know, then it started a whole conversation, but, it's mentally.
Would you do it again?
Oh, yeah. In a second. Oh, yeah.
So it was grueling, but it was worth doing.
No doubt. Yeah, it was fun.
So Rays on the River hosted a Chopped event that I was at, a charity event, maybe 6-8 months ago? Were you part of that?
Chopped event.
It was at the Rays in Alpharetta, and they had some past season winners of Chopped, and they prepared the courses, and it was terrific.
That was Top Chef.
I've got my Top Chef Chopped.
We have a Top Chef in our company. Her name's Tracy Bloom. She's the chef at Rays in the City. Rays Killer Creek in Alpharetta.
And she did an incredible job. Yes. So that was Top Chef.
Correct. She's Top Chef, yes.
But you're the Chopped guy. Very cool. Well, you need to have another benefit with folks like yourself from Chopped, because that was a really neat event.
We do. We just had an event at Rays in the River. It was Pig and Pino. Tracy's really big into it. We talked about... I bought her a shirt from Pine Street Market that said "I love bacon."
Uh-huh. So I have one of those.
So she wore a shirt, but she did. She's raised in the river. We're seafood first. We've always been seafood. Pork is a very hard sell for us. I could basically put zero price on pork and still wouldn't sell it.
Really?
But in Alpharetta, she's all about the pig, and she does puts pork in everything. And it's really receptive there. It's really received well in Alpharetta, where Ray's in the River is more of a seafood house.
You think it's just because it's on the river?
Mm-hmm.
People think fish correct. When they're yeah. sitting at the river?
Correct. Huh? Or as they come in, as they come into the restaurant, they say, I want a reservation, and I want to make sure I sit by the ocean.
Got to have a big telescope or something for those people.
That's good. It is beautiful. It's so pretty. There's so few places in Atlanta where you can actually eat on the river.
Right, I was talking about that with my wife. How'd you guys get the zoning to get there?
It's been there for a long time. Yeah, Ray bought it from the Moorings. Mm-hmm. So it's probably been 23 years ago, something like that. So it's been raised on the river for a very long time.
Right, we have this huge river that goes through the whole city, and you're the restaurant.
Right, and now forget it. You know, you can't. If you take down a tree for some reason for landscaping, you have to put two more up. Mm. They're when we were doing renovation, they had spies out there on rafts with cameras.
Really?
No doubt.
Counting the trees.
Correct, and they saw that a backhoe got within 30 feet from the river, and they fined us. They shut us down for 2 weeks.
Oh my goodness.
Find us $20,000. So there's production for the renovation of the restaurant shut down. So they're really, I mean, you can't do anything. The river is really protected. The Riverkeeper Society is, they're for real. They don't mess around.
Is that a government thing or those are volunteers that are just
I think it's a government thing.
Out on the raft. What, are you going to volunteer to be out on the raft?
There's some crazy people that are just like, that's their thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Like the sign police.
They're keeping score of that stuff.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, but it's beautiful back there.
It's we did. We went through a $6 million renovation. So
$6 million, $20,000 renovation you guys went through.
Exactly. And it is beautiful. It really is. It's really beautiful inside.
It is. That's always the Easter brunch spot that we frequent because it is. It's so beautiful back there for photos, and I've never been disappointed. It's always good. Do you have control of the menu, or is it a group of folks?
It's a group of folks. We have a new director of operations.
Mostly you, though.
Right? Yeah, I have a lot of influence. But there's some items that have been on there for a very long time.
I think you might need some hot squeeze on
that. Right. There you go.
That's how Sue got into Whole Foods, by the way.
we wouldn't be able to use this on Sunday brunch because it's all you can eat. So we would really be in trouble.
Yeah, you would. Oh, that's great. But so, what are some of the hot things on your menu?
The hot things.
Not hot as in hot squeeze, but popular.
Salmon. We do Copper River. We're doing Copper River has come and gone, but now we're doing there's still Copper River sockeye. There's king salmon from the Yukon. There's also king salmon from California. King salmon really does well in our restaurant. It's probably the most popular. People start calling before Copper River King season starts, weeks in advance, trying to find out the deadline for or when the season's going to start.
In business, whenever I have a client that I know is a fisherman, mm-hmm. and we go to Ray's on the River, they're always fascinated by your menu because they always have fish that they've caught or they've seen or they've wanted to catch that I've never even heard of before. And it's amazing because there's so many different kinds of fish.
Yeah, that's one of the fortunate things about working for Ray's. We're afforded the opportunity to not have to buy from local. The problem you get when you buy when you stick with a local company is they buy 2,300 pounds of mahi. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you get into that batch of mahi is depending on how fresh it is. So, you know, we always have a saying, there's no deal when it comes to fish. So if they say, hey, we have a great deal on mahi, well, you know, that's when you run.
Right.
Because
so
they
discounted
bought,
fish is not a good plan.
That's correct. That so, you know, when you're buying from a distributor that's local, you have to really have a great, you know, connection, but you have to hit it right, too. If you hit it on the end of the 2,300 pounds, then it's not going to be quite as fresh. We're fortunate enough that I can buy from Boston. I buy from the Pacific Northwest. We buy a little bit. We get a lot of stuff trucked in.
Mm-hmm. You don't get it straight from the Chattahoochee.
That's correct.
You know, sit
not
back
even
out
the
there.
Trout. Not even the trout. So,
so they're proud to be on the river and never use a fish from the river.
That's right. Yeah. Definitely.
They're conserving. They're tossing them back in.
That's right. That's what we say when it takes too long, when an item doesn't hit the table fast enough. We say we're still fishing.
They're not
That's
biting,
good.
Right?
So Ray's on the River was the first, and now
correct.
There are two other Ray's.
Correct.
That
There's Ray's in the city. Our new director of operation, Mike Ross. He's been with the company for about 17 years. He headed up the project in the city and made it what it is. It's in a great location. It's right connected with the Mart. So when the other restaurants aren't doing real well in July, like this past month, when it's really, really hot and people aren't eating or everybody's on vacation, the city has the Mart. and the Mart brings so much business to the city. They carry the entire company because they are so busy. Wow. So they have their Christmas in July, where Christmas for all the other restaurants are very, very busy. In December, we have all the parties, and people are coming to Raisin the River for a party, but people really don't go downtown, per se, to have a Christmas party. So their Christmas is in July. So it really makes our company strong because there's tremendous amount of cash flow in months where the other restaurants are slow. So we're diverse in that area. So as a group, we stay very strong.
And Killer Creek's been there for a while,
And Killer Creek's been there, correct. Ray opened that restaurant with Bobby Amick, who owns Concentrics. Mm-hmm. And then Bobby Amick split and then started Concentrics. But yeah, that's a great location too. It's a steakhouse, so we're diverse. So we have, you know, in the city we have seafood and steak and also sushi. So sushi in the city, and then we're primarily seafood. And then in the Alpharetta location, we're steak.
And pork.
And pork. And lots of pork, right.
Do you have Sunday brunch at all of them?
Sunday brunch is at two of them, not in the city. Mm-hmm. It's Raisin the River. We're famous for Sunday brunch. That's a machine that will go long after I'm gone. It's it's a machine you can't stop. And then also in Alpharetta, they do Sunday brunch with its a la carte.
How many people show up for a Sunday brunch at the river?
Slow is 340, 350.
Wow. Is there what time should you get there? You don't want to have a crowd.
You want to get there just before 12 o'clock.
So at 12 o'clock and later, you're waiting.
The church crowd comes. Forget about it. Mm-hmm.
Forget about it. Even getting in the parking lot.
Yeah. And the average weight goes up as well. We go from about 140-pound people to 250-pound people. So. The serious eaters show up.
Oh, I bet.
So is that the same strategy with the fish? You know, you want to get there earlier for the better selection later.
Yeah, we get, sure enough, when it gets past 12 o'clock, it's stand-up room only.
Wow.
It gets
wow.
very busy. It's exciting. It's exciting to work for, you know, a restaurant that's consistently busy. You know, I've been in the business for a long time, and I've worked at a lot of restaurants that, you know, you really suffer, and you have to send people home, and, you know, you have to watch labor, and you have to watch food costs, and you kind of get distracted from the guest. You kind of get distracted from why you're in this business. But fortunately at Ray's, we stay so busy that, you know, we get to worry about the guest, that we don't get distracted by having to always watch labor or having to always watch our food cost. You know, those things that distract most restaurateurs, we get to focus more on the guest and how to become better and how to do things better. And
do you get a chance at Ray's to be creative as you want to be?
Absolutely. We have special selects free reign. I can create as many appetizers, salads, soups, entrees, and specials on any given night. So we try to run at least two fish specials, an appetizer special, something like that, to create excitement. Because that people that go there to raise primarily have been there before, so they're looking for something that's, you know,
different.
Exactly.
Now, where do you get your inspiration? It better not be watching the Food Network.
And that's okay, too.
No, I have
it's okay, but it's not.
I have a library of books. I love, I'm a cookbook collector as well as reader, so there's a lot of really good. So I spend, on my day off, I spend a couple hours in the library, or I call it a library. I get some Starbucks, and then I go to one of the bookstores and start reading.
But you can tell just by reading, like, kind of how it's going to taste, or
just a flavor combination. You know, you'll read something that'll inspire you. I'll say, oh wow, this fish with this
hot squeeze.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
What are you, her agent?
And then boom.
It's good on salmon on the big green egg.
There you go. You know, or something that you know, you might have forgotten about, maybe you know, a species of fish or something like that. Hey, we haven't run that in a while, and then, you know, you call, locate the fish, and then bring it in.
Yeah, that's amazing. I like looking at menus. Like, I would be the person that they come back to the kitchen and go, oh, she wants to take the menu with her. I mean, I love to take the menus because of the
menus are great. Yeah. Now with the computers, you can go online. You don't have to carry the paper around, so you can go online. And
I don't have to steal it anymore.
Right, exactly. And scope out somebody's menu. That's a great way. And, you know, you can go to New York City in 2 seconds, right? And you go in New York City and start looking at menus. And
is there any fish chef out there that you're like, man, that guy's got it going on?
Ed Brown in New York City is a great fish chef. I had the opportunity to work for him a while back, but he's a great fish chef.
Because fish has its own unique challenges, right, that other meats don't have?
That's correct. And it's perishable, you know, so you're not going to have the long shelf life that you would with meat. So in, it's basically sourcing it, though. You know, if you sometimes when you cut out the middleman and you're able to buy the product and bring it straight in without having to have it in, sit in somebody's warehouse in the middleman, it's just the quality is incredible.
It's noticeably different.
I mean, it goes from smelling like fish to smelling like cucumbers. Hmm. You know, it's just or no smell at all.
And so that's what you shoot for, right? No smell at all?
Absolutely.
That's another tip for our listeners.
Absolutely.
So when you go to the DeKalb County food market...
And you're like, wow, it smells like fish. Must be great. Yeah, maybe not.
Not so much. So if you were on Iron Chef, would you want to go up against Masahami Morimoto or whatever his name is, the fish
that
guy?
That would be cool, yeah. I think, you know, I also think Maltimorio is a great chef. Not only is he a great cook, but he's he knows so much, you know, spending so much time in Europe.
So who's the big overrated chefs on the...
Overrated.
Yeah,
right.
It's controversial now.
I'm going to decline that one.
What does it rhyme with?
You know, you know, there's a lot of people. Everybody has an opinion. But you know, I've seen Bobby Flay and those guys go up against other chefs. And you know, they're really good cooks. They really are. I've seen a few contests, and I've seen a few French chefs go up against those guys. And, you know, some of it is the ability. You know, Bobby Flay has done so many of these now. It's second nature to him.
Right,
so
right.
For him, he's not even sweating. He's showing up going, okay, what are we doing today, guys?
Right.
You know, everybody else is freaking out.
Well,
trying to,
they're on the learning curve. He's not.
Correct.
You know?
Right.
He's already done it 50 times.
Exactly.
At least. Yeah. Everybody picks Bobby Flay.
A lot of it is knowing your surroundings. You know, when I was on Chopped, you know, there were no hand sinks. So that's kind of weird, working in an environment where there are no sinks, so you can't wash your hands.
Ooh, I wouldn't have done well with that.
And, you know, it takes you a minute to find out where the garbage can is. And, yeah, so it's, you know.
And minutes count. You're on the clock.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Wow.
No doubt.
Do you know the episode number? Because I'll do on demand. Well, I've Chopped, the episode number. I want to see it now. I can't believe I missed
that. Sure, you can Google it.
Yeah, you can Google it.
All right. I can go on Hulu.
Did you see the
Chopped,
the one where the winner gave the money to the runner-up? Did you see that one?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, that was really a moving thing.
Oh, yeah.
Be on the lookout for that.
There you go.
I haven't seen that.
Would you have kept the money? You would have kept
Actually,
the
I
money.
Was going to...
Donate it.
Yeah.
You're a good guy.
Charity, yeah. I had two things I wanted to do. I wanted charity, and then I wanted to build a garden. So... who lost? Charity lost because I still build my garden.
Bad break for the charity.
Wow. Oh, gosh. I could talk to these guests forever, but I'm looking at the clock, and I'm thinking it's about time to wrap it up and find out where everyone wants to be in 5 years, other than back as a repeat guest talking
well,
about
know,
their success. So, Tom, first of all, let folks know where they can go on and see the menus or find out about the locations for Ray's on the River and Killer Creek.
Yes, Ray's Restaurants. There's a S on Ray's and an S on Restaurants. They're both plural.com. You can go to that website, and you can visit all three of our locations.
And how do you feel about it when people are out in the dining room and then they ask to come into the kitchen?
Oh, we love it. You know, $6 million.
That's for her.
I do it all the time. it embarrasses my family, but I love to do that.
Ray's a stickler for cleanliness. So we have these OCI inspections every month. That we have to adhere to. So, yeah, all of our restaurants are clean. We welcome people to come in. Raising a River is very, very bright. There's a lot of bright lights because it's only been 4 years since the renovation. So you can see everything. We have lobster tanks. We have, you know, it's almost like a big ship. We have so much space in there. We have three big, beautiful coolers. We actually cut and fillet fish inside one of our coolers. We call it the fish house. The fish comes in, and then we fabricate it in the cooler. And then we also have a cryovac machine, and we cryovac it, and we ice it down. So it's a beautiful operation. We welcome people to come in and check
it
out.
You know I'm coming. Cool. I'm coming to visit.
Come on.
And she can eat there? She likes to eat in the kitchen, too.
Absolutely.
No, I don't necessarily eat in the kitchen. I just like to, like, if I really enjoy something, I like to say, can I go back in the kitchen and ask the chef what the secret ingredient is? Or, you know, you guys probably don't get people that come back there very often, and I'm always
you'd
just
be,
so appreciative if it's
surprised.
A really good meal.
We get people that peek in.
People
yeah, that's fine. All right, my sous chefs are going to be angry now. They're going to be like, you know, what did you just do?
Right.
Tom said it was
back.
Okay. Tom said it was okay.
All right. In 5 years, where do you see yourself?
5 years. Well, I really love Ray's. I'm not just saying that so that he'll listen to this and be my best fan. But Ray's never satisfied with the status quo. He's never content. We're looking at a food truck. Mike Ross and the general manager from Alpharetta, Keith, just traveled to Miami to a rodeo and looked at the options of getting a food truck. So Ray, we also looked at being in the airport. Because they're trying to bring restaurants in Atlanta into the airport.
Right.
So, yeah, so we're dynamic. We have, you know, like I said, we have cash flow. So I think we're some of the leaders in the industry. So I plan to stay with Ray's. I look forward to, we just did a, John, our new general manager, just did a great job renovating our pavilion or our tent. So we're always changing. We're dynamic, and hopefully we'll get a food truck and we'll get out there and on the road and you know take our food on the road. That would be great.
And then
chop revenge. That's right.
I love it. You know where I'm gonna go after this.
I know you're gonna go to your Comcast.
Forget about lunch. I'm gonna go watch the Chopped episode. I can't believe I missed that. How about you, Sue?
5 years from now, I
retired on a beach somewhere.
On the SS Hot Squeeze. Don't you know? I honestly want to build the company up and sell it. Mm-hmm. That's the goal. I don't think I want to have this as a family run operation. My children don't like to be working in the warehouse that much.
So
to build the company up, sell it, and then I'd really like to just get into the consulting side of it. I really do enjoy that. You know, helping people in the business. So that's what I'd like to do.
That's great. Great advice, too, for our listeners, because I think oftentimes people think it's really easy, and it's not. Mm-hmm. Greg, how about you?
Well, I really enjoy the fact that we're getting to start a new food and beverage opportunity here in Atlanta, but I'd like to build it up and be able to help other entrepreneurs, and my partners and I would probably say we'd like to sell it eventually or move into other cities and continue having more trucks.
Very cool.
Good stuff.
Great show.
I know.
Until next week, which actually I'm not going to be here next week, but 2 weeks from now. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Amy Otto on the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Have a wonderful week. Thank you.